Rabbi Sacks, are yeshivas capable of handling so sensitive a topic? After all, as you just mentioned, people don't want to talk about it. Lord knows the students themselves don't want to talk about it. How do yeshivot actually step forward and deal with a problem like this?
Well, in other words, it's not so much that the yeshiva has to deal with the problem, but the yeshiva or the school, the high school, the elementary school, unfortunately, sometimes, the educational body is very often on the front line. They're very often the people, the educators, the teachers, the minahalim, the principals or administrators of Rosh Yeshiva, are often the ones that first encounter the problem, unfortunately sometimes even before parents. That's certainly the case here in Israel, where students from the diaspora come for a year and are many thousands of miles away from home. So it's not so much that the yeshiva has to deal with it, but the yeshiva has to be one of the bodies involved in dealing with it. That involves bringing in professionals. One of the very strong messages that was conveyed yesterday was that there needs to be a strong relationship between the mental health professions and educational bodies, both in terms of involvement and consultation and learning from each other. So in that sense, our goal yesterday was to bring together, the conference was open by invitation only to people involved in education or these related fields, and to get people to understand more deeply and in a little more sophisticated manner the scope of the issue, and to begin to map out ways of understanding and ways of responding to it. Unfortunately, in many institutions, the answer is always expel the child, kick the kid out, and sometimes that has to be the response. In certain cases, that is the appropriate response, but obviously not always, and probably not as frequently as it is. The knee-jerk reaction is to get rid of the student, and that was a major topic that was discussed yesterday. What are appropriate responses?
Finally, Rabbi Sacks, if our listeners would like to obtain more information about how they can seek assistance for their yeshiva, perhaps for their child, to whom can they turn? Do you have a website, for example?
We do have a website, and the proceedings of the conference yesterday will be posted to the website. That's www.atidfellows, A-T-I-D-F-E-L-L-O-W-S, all one word, atidfellows.org. And the information will be there, or they can contact our office, and we will be happy to make referrals to some of the mental health professionals, both in Israel and abroad, who were involved in planning the program in terms of trying to get people more information and help.
So I take it your phone number is on your website? And
phone number is on the website. Our phone number in Yerushalayim is 02-673-8714.
And you're saying that your institution is, in fact, in a position to make referrals?
We can. I wouldn't say that we're in a position to make referrals, but we can definitely try to get people connected to people that have the information that will be useful. Among our goals in general, is to serve as a forum, a meeting place for people involved in Jewish education to meet, to interact with each other, to become enriched through that interaction, and to be connected to resources that might otherwise be cut off, both about this very serious and unfortunate topic and other topics that are much more pleasant to discuss.
Rabbi Jeffrey Sacks, the founding director of the Academy for Torah Initiatives, known as Atid, I want to thank you for coming on to our program today and to talking to our international listening audience about so sensitive a topic. Please come back and introduce us to some of the leaders of tomorrow, some of the young Jewish leaders that you and your organization are cultivating.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.